Let's stand as we sing hymn number 600, More About Jesus.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about us in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase, more of His living Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
All right, we're going to take up Love Gift tonight, and if you are giving your tithe or your offering to the church, please put it in a church envelope, because everything else in the plate, whether it's in a love offering envelope or just cash, will go to the effort for Brother Bubba. So be mindful of that as we give this offering. Let's pray to our God. Father, as we offer up this offering before You, we are mindful of the many ways that You poured out blessing in our lives, especially this week. But Lord, even through this previous year, how, Father, You have blessed abundantly. And now You give us opportunity to be generous and to bless others through the generous offerings You've given to us. And so, Lord, may we be found faithful and good stewards. May You be glorified through this gift. May Your kingdom be furthered. All to Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. With His love.
It's a wonderful prayer. Let's continue that prayer together. Our loving Father, you rule and reign from heaven. God, there is no one like you. No one loves us the way that you. And we give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for what you did on the cross for us. And not just for us, but for the whole world. And we confess to you, Lord, that we don't even begin to have a clue. But we thirst to know you more and more, and your great, great love for us and for the world. Holy Spirit, only you can make that happen. Make it happen tonight, we pray. We thank you, God, for this series of meetings that we've been able to participate in, to take part in. We thank you for what you have spoken into our hearts and what you've done, Holy Spirit, with it, to make us more and more like Jesus. We know that's a wake-up call. We want that. We hunger for that. To consider Jesus Christ more and more. To make the willful decision. We ask you that you would help us to do that. To take control of our thoughts and to direct them to Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, and we know that you are glorified, God. So be glorified now in this meeting as we study your word together. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You're our guide into all truth. Reveal Jesus Christ to us is our prayer. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. And hallelujah is right. Well, church family, thank you for great time that I've had here the last few days. Y'all are a wonderful, wonderful church family. Pastor Robert is spoiled to serve here, and it's been a real joy for me. Let's open our Bibles tonight to John chapter 17. You know, we've been looking at the great attributes of Jesus for the purpose of focusing our attention upon him. Consider him is what the Bible says. Consider him. And that means to think about him, to ponder how magnificent Jesus is. There's never been anyone that lived like him. And we can choose to think about him more and more. And of course, what the Holy Spirit does with that is that he forms Christ in us. As we do, into his likeness, not to try to teach us to imitate him or to some kind of behavior modification. Oh, no. He transforms us to be like him as we trust him more and more. And we trust him when we know him more and more. We trust him. We love him. We serve him. So that's what we've been doing as we've looked at the humility of Jesus Christ, as we've looked at the holiness of Christ, as we've looked at the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, his compassion, his wisdom, his power. And tonight, his single desire to glorify the Father. He lived to glorify the Father. Look at it in his prayer, John 17. As you walk through this prayer, we're just going to look at the first five verses. But when you start thinking about this prayer, when you study it, when you walk through this prayer, we're on holy ground all the way. The amazing revelation that the Holy Spirit has preserved for us of the Son of God talking to the Father God on the eve of the cross. It begins like this. When Jesus finished these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. You have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all those whom you have given to him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had before the world existed." Wow, what a prayer. What a way to begin a prayer. And it's all about the glory of God. Here's one place where you can see from the lips of Jesus in his prayer, his single desire to glorify the Father. And as we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus, this will become our one desire as well. Now, we've got all kind of desires wants and desires. But here is the one desire to have, and Jesus had it. A good friend of mine who is now with the Lord when I would see him, I wouldn't see him all the time, but occasionally I'd see him, we'd talk on the phone, and he would always ask this question: "So what's God doing in your life right now, Stahl? What's he teaching you?" Of course, the first time he asked that, I kind of was taken back, but then the next time I was prepared. Well, that's something to consider. You should ask yourself that question: what's God doing in my life right now? What's he saying to me? What's he teaching me? Here's the answer. Here's what God's doing in our life. He's changing us to become more like Jesus. That's what God's doing. And he does that by the Holy Spirit. And he's teaching you. The Holy Spirit teaches you that is transpiring, how that's being done, so that you'll join him in that work and thirst for it. Our verse that we've carried each time, each day, is that from John 7:37, when Jesus cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost rivers of living water." He told the woman at the well that. He said, "Would you give me a drink?" And she said, she was surprised. "You're a Jew. What are you doing talking to a Samaritan and a woman at that?" Jesus said, "If you only knew the gift that God would give you and who it is that's asking you for a drink, you'd ask him for a drink and he'd give you living water that you'll never thirst again." And then Jesus made that statement on a number of occasions. But we go, when you thirst for humility, when you thirst for holiness, when you thirst for faithfulness and compassion and wisdom and the power of God, and for this one desire, when you thirst for it, you go to Jesus for the fulfillment of it. And he has promised that then you become a spring of water, the flowing out to satisfy the thirst of all those around you. And so it's a very important concept to think about and to study and to pray over. And of course, glory, what Jesus is asking for, glorify your Son so that your Son can glorify you. To glorify the Father, what does that mean? That means to make him known. God's, when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about the revelation of his name, of his character. And the reason important is because when that happens, it's almost irresistible for the invitation to want to draw into him, to know him. It's an invitation to know him more and more. In his prayer, it says, and this is eternal life. He gives us the definition of eternal life, to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That word sent encompasses the whole incarnation experience. To know God, because to know Him is to trust Him. You're not going to trust someone you don't know. And then to trust Him is to love Him. You're not going to love someone you don't trust, for crying out loud. And then to love so that you will serve, which means to worship. Because if you try serving without love and trust and knowing, you're just going to be doing it out of duty or for some brownie points of some kind or something. Which unfortunately a lot of God's people are doing that. But no, it starts with knowing. You know, I think I told you this. You know, I've told the same stories as I did 3 years ago, and some of you are acting like you're hearing it for the first time. In Kingsville, I have my stories numbered to save time in the sermon. I say, hey, number three. Hey, amen. They know that. They remember that one. Maybe I should do that before the next time. I'll have them numbered. But when we moved to, when God called us to First Baptist Church, King's Land, up on A by Marble Falls, it was like the second week. I was before church. I was visiting with people. And all of a sudden, this little redheaded girl came running up. Like so many of the children that are here, she was maybe 7 or 8 years old. And she had her hands behind her back. And she came running up to me. She said, Brother Stahl, lean over. And I said, okay. So I leaned over. She said, now, close your eyes. I closed my eyes. She said, now, open your mouth. I opened my eyes. What? She said, no, I have a surprise for you. Close your eyes and open your mouth. And I didn't want to tell her this, but I thought, I'm not about to. I don't know you. You may have a frog or something. I didn't know what you, what? Why didn't I trust her? Why didn't I open my mouth? Because I didn't know her. I didn't trust her because I didn't know her. Now, I kind of spoiled her fun. I said, no, show me what you got first before I open my eyes. And so she had some chocolate. You know, it was a chocolate kiss. I said, oh, yeah, go ahead and unwrap that. I'll take that. And every Sunday she, but I didn't know her, so I didn't trust her. You only trust somebody you know, right? 2 o'clock tomorrow morning, somebody's knocking on your door. If you don't know them, you're not going to open the door. Now, if it's somebody that you know, you're going to not only open the door, you'll invite them in because you trust. You trust because you know. And we all know you don't love until you trust. That's the true meaning of love. You trust. You trust that person. And then you serve the person that you love out of love. And so that is a very important order to go with. And that's why we're focusing upon Jesus Christ, to know Him more and more, to trust Him more and to love Him more and more. And if you say, well, I already know Him and I already trust Him and I already love Him. Beloved, be careful with that confession. There's a whole lot more to know and trust and love you are right now. And I would encourage you to ask God for a thirst, a new thirst, to know Him and trust Him and love Him and serve Him. Because this is what glorifies the Father. He is glorified in the Son. Well, as we think about that, there, and you see the prayer, Jesus is praying for the one final event that He knows He's about to enter into. And it's interesting that He said, I have accomplished the work that You gave Me to do. And yet He hadn't gone to the cross yet. And some would say, well, wait, isn't there one more thing to do? Well, there is. But the cross of Jesus Christ is the culmination of everything that He did. It is the picture of all that He taught, all that He did, all that He was to reveal the Father, to reveal the love that the Father has for each person. And so even though He hadn't gone to the cross yet, He had accomplished, past tense, completed action. He had accomplished revealing who the Father is, revealing the name of the Father. And Jesus said, the name that you have given me, I have given to them, these followers of mine, that they would know you. And so he had one more thing to do that would be the revelation of all that he did. And that was the cross. The cross was the most cruelest the way of execution that was ever devised. The Persians invented it. The Romans perfected it to make it last as long as they possibly could this before. Because it would take days. It would take days for someone to die. Slow, painful, horrible, humiliating death. They put it on the main roads going in and out of Jerusalem. Thousands of Jews were crucified by the execution crews that would carry out that horrible thing. And occasionally, for some reason, for some crime, they would scourge a person. Very seldom scourge and crucify. And the main reason is because scourging was a kind of a quick death compared to crucifixion. Most people didn't survive scourging because it was that cat of nine tails, 40 lashes with those bits of glass and stuff to just rip the skin off of your back and the muscle. And Jesus, Pilate had him scourged before he was crucified, thinking that that might satisfy the bloodlust that the religious leaders had. Because after he had him scourged, he brought him back out to the religious leaders that had a crowd there. And I love what Pilate said because it's so telling. He said, "Behold the man. Behold the man." He survived scourging. Most didn't. That was a death sentence. But Jesus was still living because he was to be lifted up to give his life. But Pilate was pointing out, here's the toughest man I've ever seen endure this. Behold the man. What a statement coming from the lips of a Gentile governor like that. No one has ever lived like Jesus. No one has ever suffered like Jesus Christ. But then took him out and crucified him. But it wasn't the Romans that killed Jesus. It wasn't the religious leaders. Jesus gave his life. He gave his life for you and for me. He spoke seven words from the cross. I call them the seven words of creation, the new creation. We know from Genesis chapter 1, first part of Genesis chapter 2, God's seven words that brought into existence our creation, all the whole material universe. But on the cross, Jesus was bringing into existence the new creation with the seven words that he spoke from the cross. That first word was a word of forgiveness. That carries over into the new creation, forgiveness. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What a prayer. In fact, the tense of that verb is he kept saying that over and over. He kept praying that throughout the whole process. The word of forgiveness. Then there was the word of assurance. That thief on the cross next to him, he was crucified between two thieves. And they started out hollering, of course, from the crucifixion. When you're in pain, you reach out and try to express it. Your pain and anger to whoever's around there, and they did. But one of them was changed. One of them, and we don't know how they knew each other, but the way they talked, they knew about Jesus. In fact, something interesting in the original text, it's the only time that Jesus was addressed by his one given name, Jesus. It's the only place. Doesn't say in the Bible, but some have speculated that they may have grown up together and knew each other as boys. One going one direction, one going another, both ending up on the same day of their death. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And remember what Jesus said to him? Today you will be with me in paradise. the word of assurance. Then there was the word of responsibility. That's a part of the new creation. Not only forgiveness and assurance, but responsibility. When Jesus looked down at Mary and said, woman, behold your son. He was transferring the responsibility that he had to provide for his mother. That was a given. The oldest had that responsibility, and Jesus was transferability to the one disciple that didn't run like the rest of them, but were there at the cross along with the women. The apostle John, woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. He transferred responsibility. The only word of the seven that's not a prayer or answer to prayer, like the word of assurance. And then there was the word of substitution. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? From Psalm 2, the derelict cry of abandonment. For us to know that he experienced the full weight and brunt and wages of separation from God because of not his sin, but our sin. Jesus, it's the word of substitution. He took our place. He died in our place. We deserved separation from God and eternal hell forever because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus took our place. That's called substitution. He died for you. He died for me. He died in our place. And yet, it's the only time that Jesus prayed, God, my God. He always prayed, my Father, Father, Holy Father, as you see in this prayer, Righteous Father. But the one time he didn't address God in prayer as Father was here in this moment of separation where Jesus still had faith, and yet he was experiencing the horror of separation. My God, why have you forsaken me? He's praying. And then the prayer, I call it a prayer, the prayer of humility, of humanity. When he said, I thirst, he said it loud. I thirst. Now he already had rejected the wine mixed with gall or myrrh, which was a sedative, that they would graciously, the Roman soldiers would give that so that you wouldn't hear them screaming all the time for so long. They offered that to Jesus. He refused it. The Gospels let us know. He didn't be sedated. Experience what God sent him to experience was the separation and the wages of our sin, which was death, suffering and death. But now he said, I thirst. This was back in John. There was some sour wine that was there. Now that was kind of a common drink for Roman soldiers. In fact, they carried it in there, what we would call a canteen, sour wine. It didn't have any sedative. It was just cheap. and I call it a prayer because Jesus prayed it, a thirst. And someone there put a sponge of it with a hyssop. That's very telling from the Old Testament. Put it on a hyssop and lifted it up to Jesus so that he could complete the words of creation. His throat was parched, no doubt, hydration. But he took that sour wine so that he could speak the word of completion. It is finished. The perfect life is finished. The perfect salvation pleaded. He declared that. It was loud. He said it with a loud voice. And then the final prayer of commitment. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, my life. That was the little prayer from Psalm 31 that he prayed as a boy. We teach our children, I was taught, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray. How many of you learned that prayer? You don't have to raise your hand, but I did. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. if I should die before I wake, I wonder how many children think about that before they go to bed. I don't know. But I pray the Lord my soul to take, to my soul to keep. Well, it was in for the Jewish homes, it was Psalm 31:5. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, which, by the way, is a good prayer to learn and to pray as you go to sleep at night, thanking the Lord for the day. But each one of these, especially those last three, it says that Jesus cried out in a loud voice, and then he gave up his life. He gave up his spirit. And the first one to confess, make a profession of faith, was the Roman centurion standing there. He had witnessed thousands of people crucified. But when he heard Jesus not crying out for himself, not saying this and crying out for that, but praying. What a lesson that is for us when we're suffering. Pray. Pray like Jesus prayed when he was suffering, instead of complaining. Pray when you're when season of suffering like that. And what did the Roman centurion say? Surely this man was the Son of God. Confession. He had never seen or heard someone die like Jesus. What a death. Jesus did that for you and for me. But I wonder if you have that testimony, if you have that confession that you have made. Confessing Jesus Christ is the greatest one, the greatest man, the greatest Savior, the most unique. No one has been like him. Have you made that confession? Have you made that declaration? Has the Holy Spirit revealed to you that's your next step? Well, we'll give you an opportunity in just a few moments to do that. But that is essential. It's vital. You must. As the Holy Spirit invites you to come to Christ and you see him on the cross, see him doing that for you. Not just for the world, but for you personally. You can call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved, the Bible says. And as you do, the Holy Spirit will begin working in you to change you to become more and more like him. Because probably most of you have made that profession, made that confession. Like Mary did. Last Sunday we talked about Mary, how she's... heard Jesus say, I'm going to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. And she ran and told the disciples that my God, Jesus is alive and he's going to my Father and to my God and to your Father and to your God. And of course, on Easter, you heard your pastor preach about Thomas and how he made that declaration. My Lord and my God. He shared that with his mouth, believing it in his heart. And declaring it with his mouth. But have you? I tell you, we underestimate the importance of it because we don't know the power of it. The power of that testimony. I know this in Revelation 12, verse 11, it says that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's powerful. To conquer Satan by the blood of the Lamb, we can understand that. But and by the word of our testimony, that the blood has cleansed me from all of my sins. And we love not our life even unto death, because you can't kill a Christian. You can just kill his body, her body, but she's going to go on living, Jesus said. It's just right into the presence of the Lord at that point. Let me close with a story that I think about often, and of thinking about it again coming up here and thinking about this last message and the power of a personal testimony. I think I've told you, I wanted to be a cowboy. That's all I ever wanted to do, so that's why I got to be. And Beth and I got married. We were living down on a ranch, and for the next 10 years, we just went ranch to ranch, and and got to do that. In August the 7th, 1982, God called me to preach. And we left El Indio, sold everything we had down there, and drove to Abilene, and I enrolled at Hardin-Simmons. And within a few months, Calvary Baptist Church in Rotan called me to be their pastor. And we moved up there to Rotan. And one of the things I learned that we had up there was the nursing home services. And there were two nursing homes, and so we would alternate with First Baptist Church. One would go one nursing home one Sunday afternoon, we'd take the other Sunday, and then we would switch off. Well, this was the first time that we were at this one nursing home, had the service there with the group. And when we got through, we would go down and visit. There weren't a lot of residents there, so we would go and visit. Well, we were walking down the hall, and I looked over in this room, and it was a strange sight. It stopped me, because in this room, there was no pictures on the wall. There was no decorations. And the person in the bed, I truly thought all it was just a head. It looked like just a head. After I got in there, I realized, and I was told, that her arms and legs were so small, I thought it looked like wrinkles in the cover, the sheet. But no, that was her arms and legs. And I learned it was a lady. So as I was standing there just staring into that room, one of the ladies, one of the nurses came by, and she said, and she saw me looking at her, and I said, does she have a body? And the lady said, oh, yeah, it's just so small, you know, but you can just see and her little gray hair was just going everywhere like a wire brush. And then this lady said she didn't have any family, and they're all gone. She didn't know anything anymore. She didn't even know her name. And I said, is it okay if I pray for her? Oh, go ahead, because nobody talks to her. Whenever one of the other residents passed away, we get their night clothes, and that's what she gets. Because she didn't have, for years, nobody, no family here. They're all gone. Man, I was intrigued. Then I walked in there. Her face was pointed toward the wall. And I didn't want to startle her and scare her. I didn't even know she could hear me. Then, of course, the lady says, she won't know you're there. She doesn't know anything anymore. So I just leaned over as close as I could get to her ear, and I said, I'm Bubba Stahl. I'm a pastor, and I would like to pray for you. And I kept my eyes open, and I put my hand gently on top of her head, and I just started praying. Well, as I started praying, I noticed her lips started moving, stopped praying. And she was trying to talk. And so I got down with my ear almost right there at her mouth to listen to see what she was saying. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, very frail, weak voice. I could tell it was all she could do to talk. She said, I was 8 years old. We were under a brush arbor. The preacher preached on the cross. My mother was playing the piano. And she kept talking, but I couldn't understand what she said next. But I knew what she said next. She was telling me about the night that she saw Jesus on the cross for her. When she was saved, how many old, 80 years later, whatever, I don't know how old she was, didn't even know who she was, but she was sharing who she knew, Jesus Christ, and how she was introduced to him. I was just rocked back. I was stunned. I just stood there for a minute just thanking God for her faith. And I walked outside. Beth said later, said, we didn't know what happened to you. Because I just leaned up against the wall, fighting back tears. But I was praying. I said, Lord, that's the way I want to go when I go. sharing a testimony about you. And if I lose my mind and I lose my bodily functions, I still want to be able to declare, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I prayed that, and I've thought about it so many times, and I've prayed that prayer. But here's my question to close this service out. Do you have that testimony? Do you have a testimony? And do you share it? If you realize the power of it to overcome temptation when you're overcome with temptation, Satan can't stand to hear about the blood of the Lamb and the response that sinful people have made towards his invitation. And we conquer him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I encourage you to accept Jesus Christ. And as a believer, I encourage you, think more about him and how you can share what he is saying and doing in your life, a testimony, the powerful transformation that'll take place. Well, amen and hallelujah. Let's all bow our heads. Before we stand and sing, I would like for us to all just bow our heads for a moment. And Sheila, if you want to go ahead and start playing a little, that'd be okay. But I want us to have a time of prayer, just a quiet time. We're a little early, and we can take this extra time. I wonder how the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart tonight and this week. And I wonder if there would be someone here, young or old, who knows that tonight is the night. The Lord's been telling you that tonight is the night to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith. When he died on the cross, he died to pay the penalty for all of your sins, past, present, and future. Father, forgive them, for they know not. And then to give you assurance, you will be with him in paradise forever, with responsibility now and forever. And to humble yourself as Jesus on the cross was humble, asking something to drink. I thirst. I wonder if you would say tonight, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Before you say a prayer, look at him on the cross. Look, be saved. The Holy Spirit will show you real clearly him for you. Suffering and dying and rising again to give you eternal life. With no one looking around, if that's you, I'd like for you to just raise your hand and put it back down. Now, I'm not going to trick you. I'm not like that. I wouldn't dare do that. I'm not going to say, okay, if you raise your hand, now do this. No. I just like to pray for you. Is there someone, anyone, that would say, I'm looking at Jesus right now on the cross and I want to be saved. I thirst for that. I don't want to be left out. I want to be in the family of God by the blood of Jesus and by the word of a testimony. Would you just raise your hand? Put it back down. Maybe someone that I can pray for in one of these messages on humility, on holiness, on faithfulness, on compassion, wisdom, power, glorifying God. Maybe you would say, just pray for me. I'm going to think about Jesus more and more because I've got to overcome some things. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Amen. Amen. Thank you for your honesty, your willingness to be humble and ask someone to pray for you. I will. Father, how grateful we are for the time that we've been able to spend together. Thank you for what you're doing in us, God, changing us to become more like Jesus. Thank you for what you're teaching us, how that can happen. We thirst for you, Lord Jesus. Give us that wake-up call to realize how thirsty our spirit is for this, and how we will never be the same again as you satisfy us. Only you can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Thank you for these who have indicated a desire to be prayed for. Help them, God. Continue your good work in them. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Fulfill your purpose for them according to your steadfast love. Thank you, God. And thank you for this church family endeavoring to share the gospel in every way they possibly can. Keep doing this good work here, God, for your glory. And help us all to share our testimony more and more because it glorifies you. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's sing. Your pastor is here to welcome you, to pray with you. Come while we sing. You come.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for the challenges that we've received through this week, through Brother Bubba. We know ultimately, Father, that you are speaking into our hearts. And Lord God, a wake-up call to being more like Jesus. Lord God, I know I need that. I want that. I thirst and hunger for that. And your Son told us, blessed are they who have righteousness. They'll be filled. Lord God, fill us. Fill us and make us like you and like your Son so that those around us will either hate us or want it. And Lord God, I pray that you're glorified through that. Lord God, we thank you for being in our midst this week. We pray travel for Brother Bubba as he goes home tomorrow, and then for all those that have come tonight, Lord God, give each of us safe travel to our homes, and then Lord God, use us this week with what's left and through this week so that others can know of this great Savior and Lord, this lover of our soul, like we know you. And then where we do lack in knowing you, help us to know you more. You're worthy. Thank you, Father, for desiring to pour yourself into us. Lord God, fill us up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I want to see you Sunday. It's just going to be me. But I'm going to be talking about Jesus too. So it's worth it. God bless you the rest of this. And be in prayer for Brother Bubba as he travels back home. And for Beth as she continues to get well. And for First Baptist Kingsville, who's been praying for us this week. And listen, keep praying for each other. We pray for one another because the Lord does that. That's how we grow. That's how we become more like Jesus too. God bless you. Have a good night. I guess we need another song.
We're going to close with the family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Good night.